Welcome once again to the Truth Business Network radio program. My name is Chris Roloff, and I'm in the studio with Joel Smith.
Hello.
Franchisee with Papa Murphy's Restaurant, and John C. Maxwell, business coach.
Hello. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, sir.
I'm excited about today's program.
Man, I am too. You know, we get to do one of these programs every week, and I really look forward to it every time. But don't tell the previous few guests, but I'm really excited about today's broadcast. Today, on the phone with us, we have Dean Niewolny. He is the CEO of the Halftime Institute, which for many of us may have been made famous by Bob Buford, who wrote a book called Halftime. Dean, welcome to the radio program today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
You know, this is we're kind of gushing over here. I've got to be honest, we're a little bit of fanboys in the studio today, Dean. So, you know, this is your organization, the organization you're with, and the heart of what you guys do is really at the pulse of who we think we want to be as a group, as a radio station, and as a group of business people. So today's program is going to be quite exciting. And just by way of introduction, so we started out, again, Dean Niewolny is our guest. Halftimeinstitute.org is his website, and you can go ahead and go there now if you'd like to and check out what we're going to be talking about. But Dean, let's start at the very beginning. Who is Bob Buford?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question, actually. Bob was a very successful entrepreneur, and he got to this point of midlife when he looked out the window. He just said to himself, "You know, there has to be more to life than this." And instead of just making a lot of money and keeping it for himself, so he hired a coach. And at the time, he was lucky enough to have Peter Drucker, the management guru, as his coach. So Bob started two ministries back. Well, first of all, he started one ministry in the mid-80s called Leadership Network, and their focus was just focusing on mega churches. He saw this explosion around mega churches, but felt they probably need help around managing those churches. So one part of Bob's ministry is Leadership Network, helping management of those mega churches. But once that was established, he got to a point in his life in the early 1990s where he was trying to think of what do I want to do now? What's next? And he always had this passion for marketplace leaders. But Peter said, "Hey, Bob, why don't you think of writing a book?" And Bob was like, "Well, what would I write the book on?" He said, "Well, why don't you think of writing a book that has a tagline of going from success to significance?" Just like you're doing, Bob. You were successful in business, and now you want to give back for the rest of your life. Why don't you write a book with that tagline? He said, "Well, what would I call it?" I thought, "Well, I'll call it Halftime, because you like football." And he went to the University of Texas. He loved football. And so the book Halftime was written in 1994 at the urging of Peter Drucker. Bob's intention was just to write the book, and had no expectation that the book would do anything. Well, what happened over the next 3 to 4 years is people started to read the book and started calling Bob, and he didn't know what to do with all these people calling him, because they were saying, "You know what, Bob, I feel the same way. I feel God tugging at my heartstrings. I want to live a life of significance. I want to leave a legacy. I want to make a difference." And Bob had all these people calling him, so all of a sudden he needed to get help. So he started the Halftime organization in 1998, and now 20 years later, Halftime, the book itself, has sold over 1 million copies. It's probably been handed around 2 to 3 million times. We have exposure not only here in the United States, but in 5 continents around the world. And so this sense of wanting to live a life of significance really is worldwide. It's not just here in the United States. So Bob wrote the book. The Holy Spirit kind of anointed that book, no doubt. And now it's a worldwide movement.
Well, that sounds exciting. And I told you, listener, this was going to be right in the center of what you wanted to know. Dean Niewolny is our guest again with the Halftime Institute, halftimeinstitute.org. We're talking about the founder of this organization, Bob Buford.
Yeah. You know, Dean,
I don't think there's a better person to start off with as a coach than Peter Drucker. Boy, he really stumbled onto that, didn't he?
Yeah. You know what? They also became real good friends, Joel.
Sure.
And he has been a major part, or was a major part, I should say, of halftime for years.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, you know, you listen to podcasts or you hear different authors or speakers talk about, you know, writing a book or something, and it kind of takes off kind of unexpectedly. And it sure seems like he tapped into a really important area that needed to be tapped into.
And, I remember the first week I arrived in 2010, I received a call, actually it was an email from a lady in Ireland saying, I didn't even know you existed, but I've been feeling this way for years. I have God tugging on my heart, thinking I should be doing more. I should be doing more with my life. I should be living a life of significance. I didn't know you existed. And right after that, I did a radio interview with a radio station in Malaysia. And so there is this burning desire to live a life of significance.
Right.
God puts that on our hearts.
It seems like we're heading into a cultural headwind that kind of tells us the opposite, that we just kind of settle in and we do our thing and become fixed and kind of live out our lives. And I think there's an itch underneath all of us that wants something more, and we want to be significant. But we try to settle for being moderately successful.
Yeah, it's interesting that when you look at halftime, for instance, a lot of folks just settle into their job. You know, they're not really in their calling. They're not really into what brings them joy, impact, and balance in their life. They just settle for what they just settle to make money and to provide, which is a good thing.
Right.
But there's so much more out there. The interesting thing with halftime right now is that our sweet spot for years was always the 45 to 65-year-old man or woman. And what we have now seen is that has spread out. Millennials are going through our program consistently. I mean, we've had folks in their mid-20s and as old as in their mid-80s. If you even look at someone like a Peter Drucker wrote two-thirds of his books after the age of 67. So it's no longer 45 to 65. The millennials are saying, I want to make a difference now. I want to be significant now, and I don't want to wait till midlife.
That's incredibly encouraging to hear, honestly. I mean, how many times the phrase millennial comes up, and I kind of always smirk, you know, it's like the most used word right now, you know, millennials this, millennials that. But I'm not entirely surprised. Hearing you say that initially surprised me, but then I think that's one of the defining characteristics of the next generation, is they do want to be significant. We're talking again with Dean Niewolny, the CEO of Halftime Institute. You can find him online, halftimeinstitute.org. And if anything he's saying is exciting to you, I definitely want you to go there. But here's what you said that jumped out at me, Dean. You talked about the calling, and you talked about these three things. You said joy, impact, and balance. Talk to me about those three things. It sounded like you knew what you were saying when you said those three.
Well, I don't know if I did, but I... Yeah, it's interesting. I'm just going to share something with you, and then I'll tie right into that.
Okay.
But, you know, Gallup did a survey, and this is interesting. It ties to my last comment. Gallup did a survey of a large group of people, and only 1 in 5, by their own admission, believe they're doing something of significance, meaning 80% of folks get up every day, go to work, and feel like what they're doing is not significant. It's just, you know, I'm going to plow through the day. And that's really sad when you think about it. So we talk a lot here about joy, impact, and balance. And our hope is that when you take time, and it does take time, to take a pause in your life and make eye contact with God, and get your calling, your God-given assignment. And we use Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared beforehand. And what we believe is that God has a plan for everyone's life. God has a calling for everyone's life. And I know calling is overused a lot, but you can volunteer, which is good to do, but calling is something you have to do. So when we spend time with half-timers who are in this season of life trying to figure out what is God's calling on my life, what's interesting is that they end up having much more joy, impact, and balance when they're finished and they get really clear on that Ephesians 2:10 calling. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the joy, impact, and balance has more to do with really getting clear on your Ephesians 2:10 calling, taking the time to identify that group you want to serve, that area you want to serve, what are you passionate about, what are your strengths, what are your spiritual gifts, and putting that all together and serving in an area that excites you and brings you a lot of joy.
Hmm. That is significance defined like that, and in contrast to the drudgery that we feel when we go into work. You know, here we are on the radio, and folks are probably traveling around, doing the things that they need to get done on this weekend. And, you know, we're thinking about Monday. Monday's coming. We know it's coming. But do you look forward to it, or are you just kind of drudging, going, well, I've got work to do. I have to do this. And I've tried in the last several months to stop saying I have to go to work and start saying I get to go to work. I've tried to make that change. But you've kind of pushed me a little bit back towards saying I have to. If the job that I'm in is in fact my calling, I have to go to work. God has called me to do this, and that even changes my attitude on it. It's not a drudgery anymore. This is what God has called me to do in an Ephesians 2:10 kind of way. That's inspiring. What do you think, Joel?
I think it's a responsibility. I think that's what you're getting at, rather than a mode of survival. It's a responsibility that not only impacts you and rewards you and meets your needs, but it impacts the world and the people around you and the people that's the target of your mission.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you're truly in that calling, and it does take time to figure that out, that joy will come. When you're in God's sweet spot, joy will come. It reminds me of when I was in the financial services industry for 23 years. And I remember in 2006 sitting in my office building. Here I am in downtown Chicago, the 40th floor of the Mercantile Exchange building, overseeing a $100 million business, beautiful wife, two great kids. And I remember standing and looking out the window and saying, God, there has to be more to life than this. There has to be more to life than this. And what I realize now that I look back at that time, I call that time, by the way, my smoldering discontent time, because I just felt this smoldering discontent, like, God, there has to be more to this. I'm doing a lot for myself. I'm making good money. I have all the toys that supposedly were going to bring me all this happiness, but I was really missing out on that area that God wanted me to focus on, that sweet spot of serving in his kingdom. And I would say, just to wrap that up real quick, is that I did make the transition from the marketplace into the ministry nonprofit world. But 60% of men and women that go through the halftime program actually stay right where they're at and identify their serving opportunities that are right in front of them.
Boy, there is a misconception sometimes with believers that they feel that if they're going to serve God, they need to do it in the ministry of some type, whether it's volunteering at their church or whatever. But the truth is God calls us to be ministers in our workplace. And so I love that you're saying that the majority of these people do this, because that's really what's needed.
Yeah. And I not to keep giving you a bunch of statistics, but I find them interesting.
We love statistics.
Yeah. We're doing just fine.
At least I do. I don't know about Chris.
Well, Harvard also did a study, and 50% of men and women between the ages of 50 to 65 years old said they would change their career for work with more purpose, meaning, and joy. So if one's listening to this show, the majority of folks out there, or many folks out there, I should say, may feel what you just said earlier, Chris, that sometimes it feels like a drudgery to go into work. And we turn our dreamers off, right? We turn our dreamers off. And I did this recently. I spent 7 hours one day. We tell people to spend time in solitude. And it's interesting what happens when you spend time in solitude, and I can share more on that if you'd like. But during my solitude time, one of the things that I began to realize is that when I turn my dreamer back on, there's a lot of things that I really get excited about. I mean, I love halftime. There's no doubt about that. But I also love baseball. I love flying. I love auto racing. There's all sorts of things. So we have men and women who have gone through our program who love, we have a professional fisherman, and that's what he loves to do. So he takes disabled children fishing. We have a professional golfer, and he loves to golf. So he does the same thing with disabled children, takes them out on the golf course to teach them the game of golf. So don't turn your dreamers off. Turn your dreamers on.
Wow, that's terrific.
I love that quite a bit, to keep your dreamers on. That's what happens in the drudgery of life. We do. We get lost. We stop dreaming. We stop envisioning even for our workplace. You know, we're not excited about the work that's ahead of us. We just kind of go, oh, well, I guess I've got to do this. And I want to talk a little bit more, Dean, when we come back with you, about what those roadblocks are. What are those things that get in the way of our dreamer? What are the things that turn that off for us? What is it that keeps us stuck in our difficult jobs? We're going to talk more with Dean Nawalny. He's with the Halftime Institute. You can find him and learn more about his organization online at halftimeinstitute.org. Please go there and check it out. We'll be right back here at the Truth Business Network on 99.3 FM. From success to significance, it's a phrase that when you hear it the first time, you think, that sounds kind of good. I'm going to go from just being successful maybe to having some real significance in my life. That's an exciting phrase, and it's really the tagline of the Halftime Institute and a book called Halftime, written by Bob Buford. Many years ago, on the phone with me, I'm Chris Roloff here at 99.3 FM, is Dean Nawalny with the Halftime Institute. You can find them online at halftimeinstitute.org, and Joel Smith is with us in studio. And Dean, we were talking about going to significance, getting excited about our job, getting excited about the work that we're doing, and you talked about our dreamers getting turned off. And right before we went to the break, I asked, what are the things that get in the way of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's a number of different things. We do an exercise called obstacles, and I could list 30 different obstacles, but I'll just pick out a few here. Number one, there's a level of fear, for sure. What does it mean if all of a sudden I stop, take a pause in my life, make eye contact with God, and really surrender? So the tagline says, going from success to significance, but it is really going from success to significance to ultimate surrender. And surrender is scary. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be where we're most comfortable, but it is scary. What does that mean? That means that we are going to make eye contact with God, and He is going to give us our assignment. Most people, when you say that to them, think, oh my gosh, that means I have to move to Africa. rarely does that ever happen. God has gifted you with gifts and talents and abilities and things that you love to do, and almost always it will align with that. So fear is number one. That's a big obstacle. Finances. In many cases, when you leave the marketplace, if you leave the marketplace, and again, I want to be clear that 60% of folks stay right where they're at, but if you ever leave the marketplace, in most cases, you're going to take some sort of financial cut. And I sure did, and we did as a family. Ironically, it was one of the best things that we've ever done. We were making a very good living, but with that living came a lot of stress. When we decided to downsize and reshape our life, it brought us a lot more peace in our life. And actually, it increased the relationship with my wife in a very positive way and with my kids. So the financial piece is always lingering out there, like, what does this mean financially for me? And I think when one goes through this exercise and goes through the Halftime Institute, they'll come to realize that really on the financial side, it's not as daunting as it may seem. Identity is critically important. It sounds strange, but it's one of the top three obstacles. When you're in the marketplace and you have a title of CEO or C-level executive or managing director or whatever your title is, when you leave that, then who are you? And I've had folks here go through the program that have said, you know what, I got to go back to the marketplace. I don't know who I am. I had one guy who was the CFO of a substantial organization and left to go back to that organization because he didn't know who he was, his identity, and it was very difficult on his wife and kids. It's so critically important that our identity is found in Christ, but identity is really, really important. Even Bob Buford's wife struggled with it because he was the CEO of Buford Broadcasting, and she said right after he left, she didn't know kind of what's his identity, who is he? So the other two things, just really quick, is most people feel that they're very, very good at what they're doing right now, and they're not qualified for whatever their calling is, and that's absolutely not accurate. The calling fits with what you're qualified to do. And then the last thing is time. Time is a challenge in today's society. Folks taking time to really get clear on their Ephesians 2:10 calling, God's calling for them, does take time. I actually heard Bob Buford get interviewed in 1999, that started me thinking like, boy, there is more to life than just this whole marketplace focus. I didn't make my transition until 2010. Now, it usually doesn't take people 11 years, but time, it does take time.
Yes. You're listening to Dean Nwalny. He's with the Halftime Institute. You can find him online at halftimeinstitute.org.
Yeah. So Dean, it's amazing to me in my profession. I see many people that are so hesitant or kind of enslaved in doing something that they really don't like to do, and they can't get out of. They kind of feel like they're just obligated to that, or they can't get out of it. And your last description here was terrific. You know, fear, finances, identity, qualifications, and time. I love that because that really helps to provide a framework of why people think this way. And I've, you know, in my life, I've struggled with this too a little bit, just some of this. And so I really feel that when you're talking about dreaming, that dreaming is something that people think is imaginary. It's something they can imagine happening down the road, but they don't see it as being realistic. And, you know, how does one actually bridge that gap to get to the point where maybe they are approaching midlife and they've kind of been stuck in a job that's, you know, met their needs physically or financially, but not necessarily spiritually, just to get over that hump and to actually take that first step to do something that they've been dreaming about for a long time? What would you say?
Yeah, Joe, that's great. I sounds like I'm promoting our own book here, but I really do encourage people to read the book Halftime, Bob's book Halftime, because it's a great starting point with great questions in the back to start getting you to think like, wow, what could this look like if I turn my dreamer back on? But there's a few things that I'll just point out real quick. One is we always encourage folks when they're going through the program to follow the rule of the jungle. And that is, don't let go of one vine until you have another vine in your hand. Mm. It's not that you're going to jump into this halftime season and go through our program and just leave everything behind. You don't have to worry about that. We would never allow someone to do that. What we try to do is make sure that you get outstanding coaching. There's coaching here at the Halftime Institute where one guides you through this journey and customizes the program for you as you go on this journey The other thing is, as you get into the program, you're still doing what you've been doing every day because you haven't made that change yet, if you end up making a change. But we encourage low-cost probes. So we will identify potential opportunities for you that fit with what we see your Ephesians 2:10 calling being. So it may be that right now you're a CFO of an organization, for example, but you want to go do something that has more impact. You want to do something that has more, kingdom purpose, if you will. We will maybe identify an organization out there that you could go and do a low-cost probe with to just test the waters to see if it's the right thing for you. I did probably 3 or 4 different low-cost probes while I was still working in the financial services industry and realized those were not the right fit for me. So, Joel, that's really, we go slow. We want folks to understand this is not, hey, come to the Halftime Institute program and next week you're going to be doing something completely different. The last thing I'll just say on that real quick is that when folks go through the program and they start to really get clear on what God's calling them to do, it could be that the ministry is right there in front of them. And we had an opportunity with one gentleman who was a substantial financial advisor who came here and was really miserable. And I asked him one day, what is wrong? And he said, I thought that in order to go from success to significance, that I would need to be like Mother Teresa and give up everything that I love. And that's not true. So what he's done is he's gone back into the financial services industry. He has started partnering with Kingdom Advisors, and he now serves his 1,500 clients using biblical principles for investing. So there's opportunities potentially right in front of you.
Yeah, that sounds like it really helps to create a vision or, dream in a way that's possible. I mean, it looks like your institute really kind of walks people through that and helps them take one step at a time, be able to grab a hold of one vine while still holding on to another vine. But so, Dean, what about the person that just won't let go of that vine that they've been holding on to for so long? They just can't let go of that. You've got to see that some, don't you?
Yeah, we do see that. And by the way, that's why the low-cost probe, just going back to what you just said, Joel, is so important that someone doesn't go into a high-cost probe and leave everything behind and make this major jump. We've also seen some of that, and that usually ends in disaster. But, yeah, and in many cases, folks just cannot let go of the vine that they're holding on to. There's not a whole lot we can do for that. At some point, you have to have this level of trust, and you have to have this level of surrender that God's plan's better than yours. And again, if God is truly saying to you that here is the plan that I have for you, and it doesn't include the vine you're holding on to, you got to trust that from a financial standpoint, from a family standpoint, from a children's standpoint, that he will work it out. I was in the financial services industry, and the last 3 years that I was there, I made 7 figures. And I say that only because I lived in Chicago, had a very good job, but God was clearly pointing out that it was time, Dean, for you to not only quit your job, it was time for you to uproot your wife and your kids who had all their friends and move to a place called Dallas, Texas, which was never on our radar screen. But it was crystal clear that God had that plan in our life already established, and we trusted. And then when we got down here, it was by far the best decision we've ever made. My wife and kids are flourishing down here. But to answer your question, sometimes it is difficult to let go of the vine. There's no doubt about that.
Dean Uwalny is our guest. He's on the phone with us here at 99.3 FM. The organization that he is the CEO of now is Halftime Institute. You can find them online at halftimeinstitute.org. And I would be shocked if you couldn't, so I assume that you can purchase the book Halftime by Bob Buford at that website as well, which is, from what I understand, Dean, a great place to start. I mean, you can be hanging on to all kinds of vines and read a book. So I think that'd be a great place to begin is to get that book and read it and begin to turn your dreamer on and maybe think, God, you have called me. Ephesians 2:10 isn't a verse we get to scratch out of our Bible. God created us for good works that he prepared beforehand that we would walk in them to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he is calling each and every one of us to a place of significance. And sometimes if we're not feeling it, it's okay. You know, it's okay that we don't feel it right now because we've all been there. I mean, Dean, you talked about that. You talked about being in Chicago and being at this place where this isn't enough. Making seven figures, this isn't enough. I mean, I'm sitting here, when you first told that story, I was like, yeah, that seems like that should be enough, Dean. I don't know what your deal is. That should be enough. But you know, all of us get it to that place in our job, whatever that is, where we feel stuck. It becomes a drudgery. I think one of the things I'm hearing from you, Dean, if I'm understanding you correctly, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to leave what you're doing. Right. It means that you need to reorient the way you look at what God has put before you to do. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. And just using myself as an example, when I was in the marketplace, the challenge I had was it was all about I was trying to make myself happy by making a lot of money and material possessions and so on and so forth. And again, entered the season of smoldering discontent. But my encouragement is, as you look outward and look at others and how you can serve others, there could be a huge opportunity right within your own business or wherever you're working to do that. And you will find a lot more satisfaction doing that than focusing on yourself.
You're listening to 99.3 FM, and the voice you hear is Dean Niewolny. He's on the phone with us. Halftimeinstitute.org is the website you can go to right now to learn more about all that we're talking about. Stick with us. Listening to 99.3 FM. My name is Chris Roloff. In the studio with me is Joel Smith, franchisee with Papa Murphy's Restaurants, and John C. Maxwell Coach. And on the phone with us is Dean Niewolny. He is the CEO of Halftime Institute, made famous, started by Bob Buford, who wrote the book Halftime. You know, some people are already thinking about football, Dean. Some people are already thinking about football, Joel. We know this. And when I got introduced to your organization very recently, sadly, just the name Halftime lit up my mind to think, okay, I know I'm thinking about this wrong. Because many of us, so I'm 40, Dean, and so as we approach midlife, people talk about this. I've always thought about it because of the black birthday cakes, right? The over the hill thing. And so I think at the middle of my life is this top of the hill, meaning that I had to climb up to get to it. And now I'm just coasting on the way down. And I just think that sounds terrible. But the idea of halftime, and I was talking to my daughter, she's 9. And I said, honey, what happens at halftime? Do you think the second half of the game is as important as the first half of the game? And she said, well, of course it is. And I said, right. To me, just the name kind of opened my mind to think, I know that I was thinking about this wrong, because if we're simply at halftime, then that means this is the time right now that we prepare for the second half of the game, which is really, to use the metaphor, where you win and lose the game.
Yeah.
You know, so Dean, thank you for being in the studio with us. Of course, halftimeinstitute.org is where you can find out more about Dean, and Joel Smith is in the studio with us as well.
Yep. So, Dean, you call it in the theme of football, you know, every football player needs a coach in order to really get to where they need to be and to perform at the highest level. In the business world, coaching is a little bit different than coaching in athletics, though. And I'm afraid that a lot of people don't fully understand what business coaching really is. Could you take just a couple of minutes and give us an idea of truly what coaching is and what it's about, and then maybe how or what someone could expect by getting in touch with the Halftime Institute?
Yeah, sure. Coaching for us is critically important. In my opinion, it is the secret sauce. And as Joel, you mentioned, or Chris, the game's won in the second half. I think it's important, before I start, just to point out that when we talk about halftime sounds like a halftime of your life, but halftime is truly a season, and it can be any age from 20 up to 80, as I mentioned earlier. But when I went through this program, I came out with all these ideas, and I thought, here's what I think I'm supposed to do. Well, it was only until I hired a halftime certified coach who had gone through this program, who understood the potholes, who was going to hold me accountable, who was going to guide me the whole journey. That it was only then that it started to become really clear for me as we move forward. So at halftime, anyway, the halftime coach really is that person that customizes the coaching plan, if you will, to help you succeed at the end and hopefully get really clear on your Ephesians 2:10 calling and engage in that Ephesians 2:10 calling. So he will or she will start out by doing a foundation assessment, is what we call it. And there's 7 questions, and I won't bore you with all of those, but they have to do with your family and with your faith and with your health and where you're at spiritually and other things. And that is the foundation of where coaching begins. Many men and women that come to halftime want to get to the point of figuring out their Ephesians 2:10 calling, but there's a lot of other baggage, if you will, that needs to be worked on before they can hear clearly from God. If you're financially strapped and you're in huge debt, for instance, it's going to be hard to hear from God, right? If you're in a marriage that is falling apart, hard to hear from God because every day you're thinking about your marriage. So we help folks through that. So that's the first thing that's key. Once we get them clear and we get them on this path of their Ephesians 2:10 calling, then the coach will help the person identify personal mission statement. They'll help them identify a personal board of directors, which will help guide them on this path. So there's a number of things that we do on the journey as coaches to help people get really clear and help them avoid the potholes. As one person here has said, we paid the dumb tax because we've been down that path, and we try to keep you away from that. So coaching is critical to what we do.
Yeah, I think there's a misunderstanding with coaching these days. A lot of people think that mistake coaching for consulting or maybe mm-hmm. mentorship, and certainly there may be some overlap in some of that. But coaching truly is about looking at a person and seeing what their calling is and helping them to achieve what they know they need to achieve and to help them remove the obstacles and to move forward. And that involves not so much a whole lot of advice, but it requires us as coaches to ask a lot of questions and to get that clarity that you were talking about. And once we get that clarity, of course, then we can truly work on making a plan to remove those obstacles and get to where we need to be. And your institute sounds terrific like that. Now, how would somebody get involved with this if they hear what you're saying today on the radio and they're really kind of inspired and they want to do that? How would they get a hold of your institute?
So you can go to thehalftimeinstitute.org to join our program. So, Joel, just to clarify, regarding our program or regarding coaching specifically?
Oh, I'm sorry, just your program, yep.
Yeah, just the program. Okay, halftimeinstitute.org is where we're located online, and you can go there and look at a bunch of different videos and testimonials and get a real good feel for our program. And if there's any interest after looking through the website, there's a lady, our director of admissions is Rhonda Kelbeck, mm-hmm. and her number is on there, and you can reach out to her. And what we do is we provide a free coaching session. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking about it, we'll set you up with a coach and see what you think.
Okay, now the other side of the question then, Dean, if there's somebody out there that is a certified coach or has an interest in becoming a certified coach and they were interested in teaming up with your organization, how would they go about that? And also,
yeah,
what kind of certifications would they need coming in, if any?
Yeah, great question. So we have a lot of folks who reach out to us who want to coach with us. But we're very strict on who coaches halftimers because they must go through one of our programs, first of all. Secondly, it has to be become crystal clear that this is their calling, because everyone who works here, it doesn't look at it as a job. They look at it as a calling. So when someone goes through our program, says, yeah, I want to coach, we want to make sure at the end of the program that they truly do want to coach half-timers and they're called to it. If we identify and they identify that that's the next step, then what we do is have them go through our half-time certified coaching curriculum, which is a 6-session coaching curriculum, and then they go outside of halftime to get 20 hours with the Coaching Federation of America, I believe it's called. So they have to get all of that done before they can actually coach a half-timer.
That's terrific.
You're listening to Dean Nwalny. He is on the phone with us here. He's from Halftime Institute, and again, halftimeinstitute.org. We're talking with Dean because when I heard about the Halftime Institute and I heard about this idea of moving from success to significance, I personally have probably had the same reaction many people do, which is, yeah, I like the sound of that. I want to do that. I want to have significance in my life. I want to make a difference in the world around me, not for me, but because I recognize, just as Lord Jesus Christ called us to go and to make disciples, that that's not an optional thing. That wasn't like, well, if you want to. I mean, that's a part of our, that's a part of who God has called us to be. In Ephesians 2:10, I'm a Reformed guy. I'm just going to show my cards on the table, Dean. So I love Ephesians 2 because it talks all about the life-saving grace of God that causes a dead man to become alive in Jesus Christ. But, you know, it doesn't stop there. This sovereign act of God, quickening our spirit, is so that we would be called as workers, created beforehand for a purpose. Each and every one of us has a calling. And it is a significant calling, and I hope that today's broadcast, as we continue, we have a few more minutes, will inspire you to chase that thing that God is calling you to seek after. Go to halftimeinstitute.org to learn more. Stick with us here at 99.3 FM, The Truth. Listening to 99.3 FM, The Truth. This is the Truth Business Network radio program, and our guest on the phone today is Dean Nwalny. He is the CEO of Halftime Institute. You can find them online at halftimeinstitute.org, and he is also the author of a book, Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. And Dean, we'd be amiss if we didn't allow you to share with us about your book, Trade Up. So what would we find in that?
Yeah, well, Trade Up is simply a book of what we have learned. The first four chapters has to do with the journey that I had to get here to Halftime. The rest of the book is really a manual to help you get started on your journey to figure out your Ephesians 2 and calling and what we have learned over the last 20 years here at Halftime. So it's similar to Halftime, but it's actually what we have learned over the last 20 years and has questions in the back to guide you. It's also a great place to start.
Awesome. What are those questions that are in the back to help us get started?
Well, let me tell you just one question, or three questions, actually, that I always start with, and that is, when I'm talking to businessmen and women, the three questions are, one, cost accounting, and that question has to do with, what is all your winning costing you? What's all your winning costing you? Mm-hmm. In many cases, it could be costing folks their marriage, their kids, their faith, their health. For me, it was costing me my relationship with my wife and with my kids because I was way too busy. The second question has to do with asset protection. What's priceless in your life and what are you doing to protect that? It could be the same thing. So for me, it was my wife, my kids, and others. And, you know, what I ended up doing is making sure with my assistant that at the beginning of the year, my kids' football games and dance recitals were on my calendar first, and my date nights were on my calendar first. So that's priceless to me, and I'm protecting that. And then the third question has to do with metrics, and metrics has to do with, if you're living the perfect life 2 years from now, what would that look like? And it's an interesting question. It's not what would you be doing. It's what does that look like? And for me, I'd be more in love with Jesus than I ever have been. I'd be more in love with my wife than I ever have been. And my kids would have high self-esteem and be believers. And so for you, it may be different. But those three questions really get one thinking about where they're at in life and where they want to be.
I really love that last question, Dean, especially. What does life look like in 2 years? Because how many times do we hear a question like that sound a lot more like, what am I going to be doing in 2 years? And that small difference is huge.
Yeah, most people say, okay, well, in 2 years, I want to be doing this. That's not the question. What does your life look like? You're right.
And that way gets to priorities, that way gets to real passions, that really gets to what's most important in life and how would you even define life, which probably even in of itself is quite a task to get that answered.
It also leads us to the idea of if we have this vision of what we want our life to be like in 2 years, what do we need to do in order to make the changes in our lives to become that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Dean, tell us again, the name of your book is what?
My book is called Trade Up, and you can buy it on Amazon. And and our organization's book is Halftime.
Absolutely. Dean Nawalny is the CEO of Halftime Institute. You know, if you do nothing else today, go to halftimeinstitute.org and look around. There are so many great resources, so many things that you can see and learn. And also, pick up a copy of either of these books. Pick up a copy of Halftime by Bob Buford. It's made a real lasting change in the world around us. And believe it or not, as Joel and I and Dean even talked about today, you've probably been impacted by that book personally, whether you realize it or not. And getting a copy of that book through halftimeinstitute.org could be the first step to God's calling becoming clear in your life. Dean, thank you so much for being on 99.3 FM today. Joel, great broadcast today, my friend.
It was very great. I love that.
I look forward to doing this again.
We will. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.